bikini atoll.
Hey, cut the quick time. Stop the...
Now, we checked samples of seawater in this area.
Junior samples. Oh!
Radiation was insignificant. But in the type of plankton living in this water, it was 2,000 times greater.
Something isn't hooking up.
And in the fish that ate this plankton, 40,000 times greater.
So those fish were really bright with radiation.
Fed upon these fish, the radioactivity was 500,000 times greater. Gentlemen, we are witnessing a biological chain reaction, a geometrical progression of deadly mass.
And he's not talking about the behemoth.
I am in no position to question your findings, Mr. Carr.
But they think he's a bit of a bumptious American, you know.
Uninhabited spot of the globe.
Spot on.
But I refuse to be panicked. I do not believe.
We won't be panicked.
But if you remember, in Japan, boatloads of fish had to be destroyed many thousands of miles away from the test area.
That's Andre
exactly
Morel,
I mean.
A.K.A. Professor Quartermath.
We cannot fence off the ocean. These radioactive particles are absorbed by the plankton. And then in a kind of biological progression from fish to bigger fish, or by the strange attraction of protoplasmic masses, they form radioactive conglomerates unbelievably deadly.
But you can help. Your $5, $10, or even $15.
The ocean is my province, gentlemen. But how little we know about it. We only touch the surface with our lines and our dragnets, our diving suits and bathyscopes. For all we know, what we have started may have already matured.
In the form of a giant electric dinosaur.
Whatever it is, will rise to the surface and strike back at us.
Yeah, we love the behemoth, really. And so it was a loving tribute that we edited together for the Ask Dr. Hal show. That and Red Planet Mars, we had to include the scene with the giant bat, rat, spider creature.
Behemoth, invulnerable, unstoppable.
It all started as such things do, with enormous footprints like these.
Close to all traffic.
The giant behemoth raging up from the bottom of time. Nothing can stop it.
Extra, extra, monster attacks London.
Monster. Read all about it.
Which now brings the casualties to 36 dead and more than 50 missing.
And they get fried too in an unpleasant looking way.
The Thames are closed to all traffic. The public is asked to keep all streets clear adjoining.
So they meet with Dr. Carnes and... You mean we're supposed to close off the Thames because of one overgrown alligator?
Situation is well in hand.
No, you officials just don't understand. It's
Oh, fiddlestick.
Vicinity of the River Thames.
Aunt Bertha is not a believer.
You just show me that radioactive prehistoric monster and I'll tell it a thing or two. I'll give it a piece of my mind.
This is your roving reporter, David McAvoy, speaking from my position in front of the Port of London Authority headquarters.
A nosy news hound is shoving his oar in.
Ministry heads going in for a series of meetings which have been taking place here. The commissioner, Sir Charles Moore, has been personally in charge.
That Sir Charles Moore, he's a smart guy. He's a smart dude. Well, the Americans had that trouble with the big octopus and then with the lizard in New York, and so now we think they may have something to do with this infestation of outsized, long-necked... just a moment, our aircraft is taking off. Eat these tablets, they'll shroud you from the radioactive effect of the behemoth. They're chewy, crunchy, tasty. Delicious. Like anti-radiation pills, the protective effect is short, but highly effective. So for the scene of the giant behemoth attacking the ferry boat, which seems to go on forever, they made the puppeted neck of the creature, and it could open its mouth, it could move its eyes, it could do all these things. It was operated by cable. And on the day they were supposed to use it, somebody came into the studio and started playing with it. And the cables broke inside it, so there was no way they could repair it. And they had to shoot the shot. So you see all these shots of just the big inert neck slamming against the miniature boat, which turns over, and then you see the floating doll because her children were killed, and it's a terrible tragedy. But, you know, that head could have been twisting around and looking lifelike. Somebody
like
had
talkie to Tina.
Mess with something that didn't concern him. No, the giant behemoth of Holy Writ, the one that overturns the ferry boat. They just didn't have the money or the time to rebuild the behemoth head that they were going to operate for that scene. The director of The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and Gorgo also directed The Giant Behemoth. Behemoth, its bulk unstoppable. Run, run! Look at him run. The panicked crowd. Now, when those concentric rings shoot out of it, that means it's projecting radiation somehow with its electrical field. But it's angry because all this stuff is built on the hills where it used to roam in peace.
Shots of people falling in the water.
Yes, well, they tend to scenes like this. Directed by Douglas Hickox and Eugene Lurier, with Gene Evans, Andre Morel, John Turner, Leigh Madison, Jack McGowran as Dr. Sampson, Maurice Kaufman. Based on a story by Robert Abel and Alan Adler. A fictitious radioactive paleosaurus, the behemoth predicted in the Bible, attacks London until destroyed by an overdose from a mini sub's radium-tipped torpedo. The disappointing stop-motion effects, that's debatable, were created by Jack Rabb and Louis DeWitt. Not so. Irving Block and Pete Peterson. Okay. Pete Peterson, yes. Supervised by 72-year-old Willis O'Brien, the latter a long way from the sophistication of King Kong, 1933. But it's not so bad. King Kong had a studio behind it. These things later were sort of like guerrilla productions where you managed to make your movie in spite of studio interference and lack of support. Yes, these are truly artistic creations because there was so much angst and agony involved in their
production. Oh, you want the banana juice URL again? I don't know if I gave it out correctly the first time. There's one letter I wasn't sure of. Maybe it is an R. K-R. Giant behemoth turning over things, knocking, plunging, lunging, creating chaos. Crowds are screaming, running, trampling each other. This is kind of an epitome of a worst case scenario where everything you tried to plan not to happen is happening.
You're running, that's just too bad.
New feeling of soda beverage. http://company.com
That's the peach soda, that's not the banana juice.
Yes, she wanted the banana juice. No, she did want the banana juice, and I was giving her the peach soda. Banana oil. Now I'll examine the banana juice box. I'm sure they also have a URL. Refrigerate after opening. Boisson au lait aromatisé à la banana. Servings per container. Calories. Korea's favorite. Boy, these tiny letters aren't for elderly eyeballs to read. I don't see a URL in here. Maybe on this side. Well, there's a telephone number. And an address. But, as far as I can tell, there's no URL on the banana juice. It ain't there. If it were there, I could read it to you. It's a big clumsy thing, and it steps on cars and squashes them flat. Many have complained that it's always stepping on the same car, and they run the shot over again, but they only had one.
Crunch.
So they had to duplicate the action by reframing and redoing each shot. Now they're giving that behemoth some heavy caliber ammunition. Unfortunately, it proves not to be a good idea. The Brave Home Defense Command in their World War I helmets are now getting blasted by the radiation, causing them to shrivel up into mummies.
That guy is dead.
That'll teach you to shoot at the behemoth. And the camera zooms in on the grisly result. Meanwhile, the behemoth is roaring, trampling, knocking things down. Yes, he's no peaceful fellow. In comparison, the Redosaurus was almost sedate in its attack on Manhattan. Of course, the Redosaurus did walk through a building, which was disruptive, and it...
but this guy purposely knocks the building onto the populace.
Yes, that's mean, isn't it?
It's a prehistoric monster.
What if we keep, maybe if we keep running, we can outrun it.
Run and run. You can outrun it. Well, it can't run in every direction. One direction must be right. Unless it systematically and thorough makes a sweep of the whole area, trampling on people.
I forgot about the Bronx. I gotta go back there and chomp on people.
No, this is in London.
Oh, right, London, sorry.
In fact, it's near Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. But,
and scene.
But they're working on
at
the...
At times, your boy is normal.
...special sword that can destroy it. The atomic sword is being forged.
Is that anything like the oxygen destroyer?
Yes, it's that type of weapon. You know, they must go against it. The hero must go against it with his lance. In this case, the radioactive torpedo, which will destroy the behemoth with a surfeit of radiation, just as the Redosaurus was killed by having a radioactive isotope of some unknown kind fired into his open neck wound while he had barricaded himself inside the roller coaster at Coney Island. On the other hand, Gorgo got completely away. Now that monster escaped when his mother showed up and took him back.
Aw, Mom!
After he'd destroyed London, also the Tower Bridge, or was that Gorgo's
wasn't
mama?
The Squire of Gothos kind of like that? Like, Trelane was kind of like a kid, and
well,
his parents
that's...
came on. Now, Trelane, stop fooling with the humans. But I wanna!
In Famous Monsters of Filmland, Forrest Ackerman wrote, "When Gorgo's mama comes to town, London Bridge is falling down."
The Great Funnel Line.
It funneled every kid's attention and imagination to be a monster kid. Reverie haunts my melody, or something like that.
Revelio or Revelation? What was Reveille called originally?
Revelia was the pronunciation. Sir Walter Scott the rhyme wouldn't have worked if it was Reveille. So many lonely nights.
But I say there's a whole bunch of people like us.
A whole bunch of? Well, where are they? Growing on a vine?
Who aren't going away?
No.
They aren't leaving. The party's over. They just stand there.
A prehistoric fish.
God bless you. God bless you.
At you.
God bless you.
At you.
God bless you.
At you.
Mitchell Parrish's Stardust.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year.
God bless you.
We are not daily beggars who go from door to door, but we are neighbors' children whom you have seen before.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Welcome to the Ask Dr. Hal Show, Bachelor Edition. Here, right next to the fashionable makeout room, Radio Valencia brings its.
What do you say we go in that room and listen to Canned Heat?
At the speed of light. That's right. Streaming out into the universe from Radio Valencia to you. Star Trek Lounge. And we lift our glasses to Nichelle Nichols, who recently left the planet. She herself was personally advised by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King to remain on the show when she was considering quitting.
You must not leave. But he didn't write, do you think he wrote NBC a letter to keep the show on?
No, but he advised her, and that was an important thing historically.
Oh, he probably wasn't even alive in the third season.
Probably not.
Is an original.
Hi, I'm Nichelle Nichols.
Lieutenant Uhura. From the Starship Enterprise.
But I still feel a little bit like Lieutenant Uhura on the Starship Enterprise.
Yes, that Lieutenant Uhura.
Yeah.
Frankly, I know of no other. You understand, it's not a mistake I would choose to make.
What about the time when she slaps Sulu in the face in the mirror universe?
Why would she do that? I guess because he got a little fresh. Because it was the evil Sulu.
Right.
In the mirror universe, where Spock was also evil, Sulu was heterosexual.
Well, he was into girls in the original series, right? Wasn't he kind of smiling at Uhura all the time? And
sure, well, he's a cheerful, friendly sort. You know, and it's nobody's business but his either. Passengers lounge on the Enterprise. Such luxury. They have some incredible power source having to do with dilithium crystals. And believe me, you'd need one. Our science can't produce anything that would provide a fraction of the power that something like the fictional Starship Enterprise would require. And the creators of the show knew this when they created the engine room and the dilithium crystals and so on. It was supposed to be some kind of controlled fission, nuclear fission.
Warp core.
And it later caused Commander Spock to have a terrible accident.
It's
radiation. Not going in there.
It's too late, Jim.
Hey!
I just don't understand. Well, you know, maybe I do have some sort of slight understanding or intuitive ability to guess that the two forward monitors are chiefly connected with the signal that comes through the microphones, while the one on the board has to do with the overall level of loudness and appropriateness. I never could figure out why they were so out of agreement. Welcome, welcome to this part of the show. Come on in. We must get this oil one of these days.
Lieutenant Uhura, what are you doing here?
Welcome to Inner Sanctum. I'll just buzz you in. Come right on up. The party's in full swing. They overcome the relativistic problem in that every time she visited him, he'd be 20 years older. Well, apparently they fixed that somehow. It's incomprehensible how they might do it to our own minds.
I think that's what the salt vampire was trying to emulate, was Uhura's dream man.
Well, he could make himself, or she could make herself look like anything. You've got to watch out for those aliens that have that ability. What an accomplished singer Lieutenant Uhura was. Congratulations to the Star Trek producers for allowing such a lengthy musical number to occupy time in the 1-hour show, or less than an hour, more than a show.
I don't think they played the whole song in the show, because
probably not.
This is when Riley was getting poisoned.
Oh, that guy. He took over the whole ship and created a horrible disaster because he was intoxicated. In the Navy, that wouldn't be easily expunged from your record. I don't know, in outer space, you got to live with the person who messes up. So maybe the penalties are less than one would think. And he came back in another show where he
aspects of
was similarly unappealing. Music.
Hi.
Hi.